during the holiday season. In the afternoon, after our lunch, we held informal meetings in our fellowship hall. And by their very nature, they were informal. And I took as my subject, how to equip a student of the Word of God. In my father's day, I was a very young boy at the time. In my father's day, we had Bible students in the church. People read their Bibles and studied their Bibles, and at times at church, in times of fellowship, they discussed the Scripture. There was a moving of God somewhat nationwide in the early 1950s. It affected the church that we were attending as a family. And I can remember driving 5 miles out of town to an old farmhouse that was not wired for electricity, but had the great big stately dining room. And 45 to 50 people would meet there on Friday nights for a Bible study with kerosene lamps and Coleman lamps for lighting. And of course, as a small boy, I fidgeted and endured all of the talking and the Bible study and whatnot. But I've talked to others who lived in other states, and they affirm that in the early 1950s, there was somewhat of a moving of God across our nation, and there was a renewed interest in God's Word. We live in a different age, a different day. People look at electronic screens. Many people have the Bible, or at least the New Testament, on their iPhone. People deal with technology. They have various versions of the Bible. Most of these modern versions are paraphrases. And in many of them, the doctrine is completely reversed from the language of the New Testament. And I find that there's a dearth of real Bible students in our day, of people who sincerely and daily open and study the Word of God. It's a sad thing. What I want to deal with this afternoon in just a few minutes, reading scriptures and making a few comments upon them, is our relation to the scriptures. Think about this. The Bible is our one and only source of objective truth. Especially as Christians, we know about heaven. We know about hell. We know about the history of Christianity. We know something of saving faith and of repentance. We know something of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know much about how we are to live in this world and glorify Him, and we know it all through the Bible. And apart from the Bible, we have nothing. Think of that. If there's anything incumbent upon the child of God, it is to know the Word of God as thoroughly as possible. That is my subject this afternoon. I want to look at several passages of Scripture. The first is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. A very familiar passage, and yet one that will be much more emphatic when we consider it in the original. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. One of the great proof texts, if I may use that language, for Scripture. Let us look at it in the original. Every Scripture is God-breathed. The word is singular, not plural. Every Scripture, every word, every phrase, every clause, every verse, every sentence, every paragraph is God-breathed. This comes down to the very words of Scripture themselves. in our study of the Word of God, in our personal study, we should pause at times and look up a term or a word if we are uncertain about it. After all, the Scripture is our only source of truth, our only objective. Apart from the Bible, what do we have? Well, what the preacher says from the pulpit, and how can we be certain that that's the truth? We trust he's a good student of the Word of God. Apart from the Word of God, we have religious tradition. That may lead us anywhere. Apart from the Word of God, we have our own feelings. And how many times have I heard people say, "But Pastor, I just believe this is right." And the witness of Scripture is against them. The Word of God and the Word of God alone is our objective truth as Christians. And we must know the Word of God better than anything else if we are to be consistent. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Reproof and correction. We need to be corrected. We need to be reproved. The Word of God is to do this. And if we are not good students of the Word of God, we will inevitably, led by human nature, go astray. That the man of God may be perfect, in order that fully limbed might be the man of God. Fully limbed, completely developed. The word that is used here for perfect is artios, limbs, hands, feet, arms, legs, fully developed. Many Christians today are not completely developed. They're lame in their legs. They don't walk as they should as Christians. They're lame in their hands and in their arms. They don't work as they ought as Christians. They're underdeveloped. The Word of God is to bring us to development. That the man of God may be fully limbed and completely outfitted, the participular form of the verb, unto every good work. Again, it's singular in the original. The Word of God outfits us for everything that we need for our spiritual maturity. Now to John chapter 10 and verse 35. The Jews set about to stone our Lord. "For which of my good works do you want to stone me?" "Well, because you as a man make yourself to be God." And he quotes an obscure phrase from the Old Testament that to those whom the Word of God came, he said, "Ye are gods, and the Scripture cannot be broken." I want to deal with that phrase. The Scripture cannot be broken. This morning, Pastor Nelson dealt with the word luo, which means to loose. This is the word that is used here. We would not expect that word to be used. The Scripture cannot be loosed. The Scripture cannot be unraveled. The Scripture is binding. Every phrase, every word is binding. This is the Word of God we have at our disposal. But you say, "I'm busy. I get up early in the morning. I work until late. I don't have time." I don't want to go too long today, but when I was accepted into Bible college, I had 6 months to prepare. I was told they had a personal evangelism class. I would need to memorize 150 verses of Scripture. So I made myself a little packet that would fit into my breast pocket. I was driving truck, concrete mixer, and I would type out these Scriptures and put them in cards and put them here. And I'm backing up my concrete mixer, and a fellow jumps on the running board and said, "Hey, you got a weed?" I said, "I don't smoke." He said, "What's that in your pocket?" I says, "I don't think you'll like them. I don't smoke your brand." And he opened it up and threw it like this. He was so aghast when the Scripture faced him. It was really funny. There are times when, you know, you can have some good sanctified humor. I said, "It wasn't going to bite you." And I picked all the cards up, put them back in my pocket. No, We can always have a verse of Scripture with us, or a passage of Scripture on a folded piece of paper, in your purse, something there that you take out, eating lunch, taking a snack, having a cup of coffee, letting the Word of God dwell in us richly. These can be extremely rewarding. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. The word of God is tried. The Hebrew means pure, as though something is refined or cooked down into its pure state. The word of God is absolutely pure. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. Has anyone studied ancient armor? What is a buckler? A buckler was a small round shield. You had the sword. I'm a Benjamite. I'm left-handed. And the buckler was on the other arm, the forearm, to glance off blows. Everything, it was there immediately. It wasn't the big heavy shield. It was here. You had the sword in one hand, the buckler in the other. The Word of God is a buckler. Everything in life, immediately, situations, everything, the Word of God is here. This is the relationship we should have with Scripture. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 deals again with inspiration. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first. This is primary, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? The Church of Rome says you don't have the right to interpret Scripture. It's the right of the Church. Only the Church has the right. It doesn't mean that. Literally, no Scripture of its own becomes. In other words, it's not some arbitrary thing that comes out of some ancient literature, but it's written under divine inspiration with divine authority. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word moved there is very important. It's a participle. Pheromenoi. And of course, Mark knows what I'm talking about. He's our Greek professor. From Pharaoh, to bear or carry, pheromenoi, as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit, the same way a ship is borne along by the wind and the waves. What a graphic picture of divine inspiration. This is divine authority. You carry in your hand with the Word of God a book of divine authority that is sufficient for every circumstance in life. To the extent that we are scriptural, we are blessed. To the extent that we are not scriptural, we suffer. Think of that. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This is interesting, isn't it? This is the place the Word of God is to have in our lives. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. How needful that is in the society in which we live today. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Spurgeon preached on this passage. Do you know what his outline was? Before sermon, during sermon, after sermon. Before sermon, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. During sermon, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. After sermon, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deserving your own selves. Quite a sermon outline, isn't it? Listen to the illustration. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being a not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. How often People read a chapter a day, keeps the devil away. They read a portion of scripture in the morning. And what does the hymn writer say? The early dew of morning has passed away at noon, and the word of God ceases to have an influence in the life. Memorizing just a statement, memorizing a short passage, keeping it here. It's strange providentially how this will minister to you during the day and may do you well in unintended circumstances. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. My, that means that it's insufficient to sit under the church's ministry. We need more than that. We need the word of God every day. It is the only objective truth we have as Christians. And now to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We all lament our weakness as believers, don't we? Well, you know, I should have been better here. I should have said this. I just have to tell you, I'm a long way to go as a Christian. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Whole armor is one word, panoplia. Does that ring a bell? Panoply. A panoply was a suit of armor. Everything goes together. And although he's going to speak about the shield and our feet shod with this and have the helmet of sun and all these other things, it's all one unit. All right? Don't think flannel graph. Think the truth of God. And we'll talk about flannel graph in a moment. For we wrestle not, the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? And my mind is entirely blank right now. I didn't write it down in the Greek. Methodeos. Methodeos. The methodology of the devil. He knows how to wrestle. He knows hand-to-hand combat. And every day we pray, deliver us from the evil one. The methodeos to diabolu. My memory's coming back now. For we wrestle not. We wrestle not. What is described here is hand-to-hand combat. Think of the intensity of the Word of God. Have you ever quoted Scripture in a situation of great temptation? Have you ever had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? I heard a man say that once in a blasphemous way. Do you know what he said? We were together, and he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, and push. And push. Push me into these circumstances." And he did that to aggravate me. I was the Christian. He was an ungodly neighbor that I knew many years ago. For we wrestle not hand-to-hand combat. There's an intensity here. We cannot be without the Word of God. We are liable. We are weaponless. We are defenseless. The word of God is our armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. I'm going to change some of the words. Listen very carefully. Against powers, against the world rulers of this darkness. Powerful demonic forces, the world rulers of this darkness. That should make a man a Bible student, shouldn't it? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, the panoply of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. And what follows is a whole list of participles. Stand doing this, 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 and this. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield, this is a bigger shield. It's not the small buckler here, but it's the big shield, protecting from these fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I can remember back to going to Sunday school. I think I was in the second grade when my family started going to church, when my father was converted. We're going back to about 1948. Flannel graph was big in Sunday school then. And they had the Christian soldier, and they put every article of armor on there. And what do you think they put up for the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? They put a Bible in his hand. What is the word here? Is it logos or is it rhema? It's rhema, an utterance. The sword of the Spirit is the very utterance of God. I take the view of Matthew Henry, who spent the last few years of his life not on his commentary. He gave it up. What we have in the latter part of Matthew Henry's commentary were from notes from his hearers that they assembled together to complete his commentary. He gave himself over to writing a book. And the book was entitled, we have it in print today, we've changed the title of it. And of course, I didn't write it down. But it's basically praying God's word back to himself. Praying and uttering the word of God in prayer. Can we have a better weapon? Can we have a better standing before God than to pray his promises back to him in prayer? And it's a thick book. It's been published by Heritage Reformed Publications. And it's a glorious book. And he gives instances of praying God's word back to him. It's the utterance of God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the utterance of God. Articulating the word of God. Rehearsing before God his promises. Taking the word of God and articulating it in prayer. I've heard so little of that. I've engaged so little of that myself. I've had times when I'm just quoting scripture as my last defense. But this is a matter of prayer. This is spiritual warfare. Sometimes, and I think this is a poor situation, we have a traditional view of God's word and God's ministry in our life through his word. So, oh yes, I know what the Bible says, but... Well, we've just disarmed ourselves, haven't we? And we've minimized the word of God, the very things that are powerful weapons for us, for our defense and for offense. If it's the sword of the Spirit, it's not for defense, it's for offense. And if you're dealing with a person, we'll say in an evangelistic exchange, what are you doing? Say, now look, just repeat this prayer after me and you can make your religious decision. No. You're quoting scripture, aren't you? And the sword of the Spirit and offensive weapons is what? The utterance of God. You articulate, you're uttering God's word. You tell them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This is the word of God. It's an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. We are uttering the word of God. And now, immediately, Paul writes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's why I believe this has primary reference to prayer. And of course, to any other way that we would wield the utterance of God in dealing with Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, or someone we are seeking to evangelize. One final passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Almost all of these very familiar passages of Scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do we need any explanation here? Yes, we always do. Spoudason. Translated study, aorist imperative, give the utmost diligence, put forth the utmost effort. That's more than reading a chapter a day. It is digesting, getting a firm grasp upon the Word of God, looking up things perhaps of which you are not sure, progressing in your knowledge of God's truth and the doctrines revealed in God's truth, the teaching that is there. Give the utmost diligence to show thyself approved unto mom and dad who said, "Did you read your Bible this morning?" "No." Show thyself approved unto God. There is a Godward relationship that demands that we become thorough students of the Word of God. Show thyself approved unto God, and the word unto God is really to stand before God, as though we're there like a military man being approved. There it is. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The word workman could be translated craftsman. That has no reason to turn away in shame. A graphic picture. Turning away in shame. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now this word rightly dividing. Ortho. Tamunta, orthotamunta, ortho, orthopedics, straight, tunta, from tameo to cut, tonsil ectome, appendectome, to cut out. Rightly dividing the word of truth means to cut a straight line. And as A.T. Pearson, the old Greek authority, said, Paul worked in collicium. That is, that dark's goat hair cloth. He not only made tents, he made coats, he made shoes, he made other things. It was a general term, translated and interpreted as tent maker. Paul knew how to cut a straight line. Do we know how to cut a straight line and be faithful indeed to the Word of God? Study. Give the utmost diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a skilled craftsman, having no cause to turn away in shame, cutting straight the Word of God. And that does not mean to cut it in seven pieces. What? I'm talking about the seven dispensations. They divide the Word of God into seven dispensations. You talk about God's law. Oh, that's for that dispensation. You talk about this. Oh, that's for the kingdom age. That's not for the now. And they rob us of the Word of God, cutting straight the Word of God. I dare say that we cannot do better than the Apostle Paul, and we dare not correct him. I'm just wandering at a moment now. How many of you have the Companion Bible? E.W. Bullinger, he has three dispensations in the book of Acts. Nothing much is left at all for us today. But it's all for us. All of Scripture for all of life. There is every reason to be a good, consistent student of the Word of God. Our relation to Scripture determines everything without exception in our Christian life. May God enable us to know God's Word more and more, and may it be reflected in our lives. Father, bless thy Word. Glorify thyself. Might we take up this challenge. Might we know the Word of God, and might we be useful in the work of your kingdom. Might we bring glory to you in all things. This we ask through Jesus our Lord. Amen.